This is one of a series of lectures using the studies of my handbook and my Bible chart. I am Finis Jennings Dake, and the subject of this lecture is the Antichrist. Why the Antichrist will not be a worldwide ruler or dictator. Why the Antichrist will not bring universal peace, universal prosperity, or control all money systems throughout the world. Or that he has a universal church, and he has a universal religion, and he will rule all labor unions. He will literally be a worldwide dictator in every part of this known earth. All these are fallacies according to the Bible. There is not one statement in the entire Bible that the Antichrist will be a universal ruler or a universal dictator of the whole known earth as we have it today. There is not a statement in the Bible that the Antichrist will bring universal peace. The only statement of peace in connection with his coming at all is found in the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel, where we read, "By peace shall destroy many." The idea is that the Antichrist will make a 7 years covenant of peace with Israel. And then when he breaks that covenant in the middle of the 7 years, that he will turn on Israel and destroy many who had confidence in him and who believed that he was really a coming world ruler. As to prosperity, there is not one statement in the entire Bible using this term in connection with the Antichrist, that he's going to win men because he causes the whole of the earth to prosper is a foreign idea to all Scripture. Also, the idea that he will control all monetary systems on the earth, nothing is said about that in the entire Bible. Also, that the Antichrist is going to have a bride like Jesus Christ will have a bride, or that Antichrist will have a universal church, or a universal worship, and a universal religion. All of those statements are foreign to the Scripture. He will have a religion inside the Roman Empire where he rules, but he will never have a universal religion over all nations outside of the Antichrist kingdom. And the idea that he will control labor unions, cause craft to prosper in his hand, as stated in the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel. There isn't any statement in the Bible anywhere that leads one to believe that Antichrist refers will control any kind of a union, much less all labor unions throughout the world. The word for craft in this passage is deceit, and he is coming with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they love not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness, according to Paul's own statement about it in 2 Thessalonians 2. And as far as him being a worldwide dictator, where men got this idea in the beginning is a mystery to me. It seemed to me like they could find the scriptures that limit the kingdom of the Antichrist. I found them 55 years ago. There is no possibility of a man failing to find these things if he will collect together all scriptures on the subject. Antichrist will never be a worldwide dictator. I'm going to give you plenty of proof that the Antichrist will not be a worldwide dictator. Men got this idea from the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, where we read in verses 7 and 8 that power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and especially in verse 16 of the 13th chapter of Revelation, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand or in the forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. It does sound like that all means all, and he will rule the whole world, and that he will have universal religion. Sounds like it, but we must recognize that the word all is a figurative statement. We have in our English language a figurative speech called synecdoche. A part is put for a whole, and a whole for a part. For example, if we had literally millions of people in a certain congregation trying to get to this lecture, for example, people would say, my, the whole world was there last night. Everybody in the country was there. But literally speaking, all this would be a lie, because there would be some sick people that couldn't be there, there would be people working that couldn't be there, and there would be people in all various parts of the earth that could never get there. But we use the term all, and the Bible is very free in using the term all. In other words, God, the author of the Bible, he knew this figure of speech in the English language and in the human language, and he knew what all really meant and what all referred to, and he knew he could limit the word all to a part and people would understand it, or he could make the word all refer to, as it were, a whole term, and people would understand it. The idea in Revelation 13 is simply this, that the Antichrist will make a law in his 10 kingdoms, not outside of his 10 kingdoms, but in his 10 kingdoms, that the whole world must worship him or be killed. Now we all recognize that that refers only to the kingdom of the Antichrist, not to all the world outside of the kingdom of the Antichrist. And not only that, but the making of a law and the enforcement of the law are two different things. We all recognize that fact. The Antichrist will literally make a law, all right, in his 10 kingdoms, the old Roman Empire territory, as we have proved before, and he will demand the worship of the world and get it from many people. And he will actually make a law that no man can buy or sell unless he does worship the Antichrist and take his mark in the right hand or in the forehead. All this is literally true. He will make such a law. But it can never become effective by the Antichrist or anybody else in such a short period of 3.5 years or 42 literal months over such vast place as the earth. He can only enforce that law as much as he possibly can, that's all. There'll be millions of people, even in his 10 kingdoms, that will not take the mark of the beast, and that will not be killed either, because of certain conditions that prevail in various parts of the old Roman Empire in those days. Now the definite idea then that the Antichrist will kill off everybody in all the world who will not worship him is entirely a fallacy. And it should not be permitted to continue in our thinking, because the Antichrist is very limited in his empire. He is limited according to many scriptures, and I'm going to give you some of those limitations now in a number of scriptures so you can see for yourself what is really the truth on this matter. In Daniel 7:7-8, we have the idea that the Antichrist kingdom will be limited to 10 kingdoms that will be formed inside the Roman Empire. For in Daniel 7:7, the prophet saw a beast that had 10 horns upon it. And then he saw another little horn come out from among the 10 horns and pluck up 3 of the 10 horns by the roots. Now that literally means that within inside the old Roman Empire territory, there will be 10 kingdoms formed in the latter days before Antichrist comes to power. And in his rise to power, he will overthrow 3 of the 10 kingdoms and pluck them up by the roots, and the others will submit to him without any further struggle. This is also referred to in the interpretation of Daniel 7:7-8, in verses 23 and 24 of this same chapter, where we read, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom. That means inside the Roman Empire. Not part outside and part inside, but literally all inside or out of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire, in other words, is to be revised into 10 kingdoms in the latter days. Instead of one vast empire being formed, ruled by one man from Rome and Italy, there will be 10 kingdoms formed inside that territory, and that's literally what is meant when it says, out of this fourth kingdom shall come 10 kingdoms. Verse 24 explains further that the Antichrist will not be the one to form these 10 kingdoms. They will be formed before he even appears on the scene. And then we read of the little word after, A-F-T-E-R, in verse 24. After them, after the 10 kingdoms are formed. Then the Antichrist will arise. And he doesn't overthrow all 10 of them at once. He only overthrows 3 of them. And the others will submit to him without any further struggle, as we find in the 17th chapter of Revelation, verses 8 to 17. We have here the statement, "The beast which thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And all that dwell upon the earth shall wonder, whose names are not found written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is or shall be." Then in verse 10, it says, "The 10 horns, Mr. John, are 10 kings that have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." How many horns are on the beast of Daniel 7? Only 10. How many horns in the beast of Revelation 17? Only 10. How many horns on the dragon in Revelation 12? Only 10. We have definitely stated in both Daniel and Revelation, therefore, that the Antichrist's kingdom will be made up of 10 kingdoms, and it definitely limits those 10 kingdoms to the boundaries or within the boundaries of the old Roman Empire territory. It tells you in no uncertain terms where these 10 kingdoms are located: out of this kingdom, meaning inside the Roman Empire territory, will come 10 kingdoms in the latter days. And the Antichrist will come after them, not before them. He will have nothing to do with the formation of the 10 kingdoms, but he is coming after them. And in his rise to power among the 10, after they are formed and after they exist for a short space independent of him, then he rises to power, and in the first 3.5 years of what we call Daniel's 70th week, the Antichrist will be conquering among these 10 kingdoms. And we read in Daniel 7, 7 and 8, and 7, 19, and 7, 24, that he will overthrow 3 of these 10 kingdoms, and then the other 6 will submit to him without any further struggle. So that's what is referred to in Revelation 17, where it says the 10 horns are 10 kings which will receive no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Then it further continues to inform us that the 10 horns are even going to continue to exist until they fight against Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. In Daniel 7, that is clear. In Daniel 11, it's very, very clear. And in Revelation 17, it is clearer yet, because in verse 14 of that chapter it said, "These 10 horns shall make war on the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is King of kings and Lord of lords, and they that are with him are the called, chosen, and faithful." Thus you see the Antichrist is going to be ruler of 10 kingdoms inside the Roman Empire. Now notice also verses 16 and 17. Of the 17th of Revelation, where it says, "The 10 horns shall hate the whore, and shall burn her flesh, and make her desolate and naked, for God hath put it in their hearts to agree, and give their kingdom to the beast, till the words of God should be fulfilled." Thus the 10 kingdoms only, not 150 governments of this world, but only 10 governments of this world, will give their power and strength unto the Antichrist, and these 10 governments are located inside the territory of the old Roman Empire. All right, now we have not only then in Daniel 7, Daniel 8, Revelation 13, Revelation 17, and in Revelation 12, all these scriptures picture the Antichrist kingdom as consisting of 10 kingdoms that will be located inside the Roman Empire and not throughout the whole world. Not only that, but we have scriptures that tell us that certain countries will escape the Antichrist, will not be under him at all. Take, for example, the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, verses 40 to 43, where we read of the latter-day war between Egypt and Syria, king of the north, Syria, and king of the south, Egypt. That's the time the Antichrist is rising to power over the ten kingdoms, and that's the time that he will overthrow three of the ten kingdoms, namely Egypt, Greece, and Turkey. Coming from Syria, he will conquer the other three divisions of the old Grecian Empire, as portrayed in the 8th chapter of the book of Daniel. Then it tells you here, in the very last days, two of these divisions of Alexander's empire, Syria and Egypt, will be fighting with each other. Look at verse 40 of the 11th chapter of Daniel. At the time of the end shall the king of the south come against him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. And he, the king of the north, shall enter into the glorious land. He conquers Israel. He breaks his contract with Israel at that point and defeats Israel in battle. And the Israelites flee out of their country into Edom and Moab and Ammon, or into modern Jordan, which country will escape the Antichrist. Well, you'll notice the next statement here. But these shall escape out of his hand. So if any one country escapes out of the hands of the Antichrist, that is sufficient proof that he is not a worldwide dictator. So here we have, these shall escape out of his hands, even Edom and Moab and chief of the children of Ammon. And if you know Bible geography at all, you'll know that refers to modern Jordan. Modern Jordan is the ancient Edom, Moab, and Ammon. So we read here that Jordan will escape the Antichrist. And where is Jordan located? Way across the oceans like the United States and other countries? No. Jordan is located right next to Palestine. The Antichrist conquers Israel, because it says here, he shall enter into the glorious land, Palestine. And many, not all, many countries will be overthrown by him, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Jordan. Then we have in Daniel 11:44, one of the most simple and clearly stated scriptures in the entire Bible when it comes to the question of the Antichrist and his authority throughout the world. And it reads like this: But tidings out of the east and out of the north, that is, when Antichrist conquers Egypt and Greece and Turkey and the other six of the ten kingdoms surrender to him without any further war, then we have a war declared against him and his ten kingdoms by the countries in the north and east of the old Roman Empire territory. Now all you have to do is look at a map of the old Roman Empire and see what modern countries are north and east of the old Roman Empire. You will find Germany and Czechoslovakia, Poland, Norway, Denmark, Sweden, Latvia, Russia, and over to the east, there is China, Japan, and India, Korea, Southeast Asia, and many Asian countries, even over to the River of India, at the beginning of the old Roman Empire territory on the farthest east. It says here now then that tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him, will trouble this ruler of the ten kingdoms. He has had 3.5 years success in getting power over the ten kingdoms, and now these other countries combine together to defeat this Antichrist and to stop him in his world conquest. He is planning and he is determined to conquer the whole world, but he never will do it. And that's the thing that we ought to be thankful for. He will only conquer the ten kingdoms in the first 3.5 years of the last 7 years of this age. Then he will be given power over them for the last 42 months. But then he goes to conquer other nations. Other nations make war on him, according to this verse 44. Therefore, we read, the Antichrist will go forth with great fury to destroy and to utterly make away many. Now, many Bible scholars are saying these days that Russia is the king of the north of Daniel 11, and that Russia is the farthest north, and that identifies her and that qualifies her to be the one referred to in doing all the prophecies, fulfilling all the prophecies. That Bible scholars say that Russia will fulfill. But the very fact that the Russia is farthest north and is north of Syria and north of any other country on the globe proves that Russia could not be the king of the north of Daniel 11. The king of the north of Daniel 11 is none other than the old Syrian division of the Grecian Empire, which originally took in, after the death of Alexander, the Seleucid Empire took in all of modern Lebanon and Syria and Iraq and Iran and all the countries, even Pakistan, over to the river of India, way over to the east. In the formation of the ten kingdoms, all these territories will be formed again under one kingdom known as the Kingdom of Syria. And Antichrist will come from this kingdom of Syria and will conquer the ten kingdoms inside the Roman Empire. And then during the last 3.5 years that he is fighting with these countries north and east, he will finally conquer them. But here's the thing about it. All these countries in the north and east, many millions and millions of people that are not under the Antichrist. He is not their world dictator at all. He is fighting with them, and therefore they do not love him. They do not keep his law that he made in the 13th chapter of Revelation at all. We just can't even conceive of such an idea. If the Antichrist is fighting with these countries, how that they love him enough to worship him and to take his mark in the right hand or in the forehead. So this war goes on all during the last 42 months of this age, all during the time of the Antichrist's full reign over the ten kingdoms until the end time. A few months at the most, toward the end, he conquers all these northern and eastern countries. Then he leads them, together with his ten kingdoms, together with nations that will cooperate with him through the ministry of the three unclean spirits. All these armies come against Jerusalem to battle, to do in the end of the Daniel 70th week what the Antichrist wanted to do in the middle of Daniel 70th week when he broke his contract with Israel. So right here we have the definite proof that there will be a war between the Antichrist and these many countries north and east all during most of the 3.5 years that the Antichrist is ruler of the ten kingdoms. Now, the very fact that they war with him, as I say, and they're not under, that proves they're not under him and proves that they do not love him enough to worship him and to give themselves wholly over to him. He conquers them before they are willing to submit to him and bring their armies to cooperate with him at the Battle of Armageddon against Jesus Christ and Israel at that particular time. We also have a statement in the 11th chapter of Daniel, verse 45. He shall enter into the glorious land, we read in verses 40 to 43, Palestine, and then he will conquer the countries north and east in verse 44. Then it tells us in verse 45, that he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to an end, and none shall help him. It is very clear, therefore, that the Antichrist will come to an end before he even conquers Jerusalem. He does not even conquer the Jews and Jordan. When he comes down from the north and east after conquering all those northern and eastern nations, then we read that he'll attempt to conquer Israel and conquer Jordan, who will be cooperating with Israel at that particular time. But the Antichrist will be defeated. We read in one day of battle, Antichrist will be defeated by Jesus Christ when he makes his appearance in the clouds of heaven, landing on the planet Earth on the Mount of Olives to set up his kingdom in the world forever, even forever and ever. So it tells you here, he will come to an end before he even leaves Jerusalem and leaves the Israelites alone. He doesn't even try, he doesn't even attempt to go across the oceans and conquer North and South America, or go way down to Australia, or New Zealand, or New Guinea, or Indonesia, or the Philippines. He does not try to conquer all the whole world. All he does is to conquer the 10 kingdoms in the first 3.5 years and conquers the northern and eastern countries the last 3.5 years. But these northern and eastern countries do not take in the whole world. The United States and all North and South American republics will be in those days not under the Antichrist, but will be more or less taking a stand against him. Some may be for him, some may be against him. We know nothing about which ones will cooperate with him and which ones will not. But he does not control all these countries, that much is definite, because Revelation 13:16 plainly tells us how that the Antichrist will send demon-inspired ambassadors to all nations of the earth to try to get their cooperation with him at the Battle of Armageddon in opposing Jesus Christ from setting up his kingdom in the world. You read this information in the 16th chapter of Revelation, verses 13 to 16. John said, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouths of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and false prophet. These are spirits of devils working miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Armageddon will be the last war between now and the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. There will be several wars between now and then, such as the wars to form the 10 kingdoms. That's going to be at least one war, perhaps the next war. At least the 10 kingdoms must be formed as a result of a war, and it'll be a world war at that. For all the 25 governments now inside the Roman Empire territory will have to be brought down to 10 kingdoms. So it will take a war to bring that about. Then we read of the Antichrist after the 10 kingdoms continue for a short space. He goes forth conquering and a conqueror among these 10 kingdoms and gets power over them in another war during the first 3.5 years of this age. And then tidings out of the north and east will cause a third war. And the Antichrist will go and fight with these countries north and east and will finally conquer them. And then he gathers all nations down against Jerusalem to destroy the Jews. But Christ comes in a moment of time and defeats him. And the Antichrist fails and is destroyed by Jesus Christ and destroyed personally by Christ. So we read here that three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, they do get some success from getting the nations to cooperate with him. And they go out doing miraculous things to get the nations, to convince the nations that they must cooperate with the Antichrist right now, or else it'll be too late if they do not. The Bible teaches us that there will be many of those nations that will go after the Antichrist and fight against Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. For in the 19th chapter of Revelation, verse 19, we read, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So we find that the nations will cooperate with Antichrist, many nations. And that's also suggested in the 14th chapter of the book of Zechariah, where God said, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people then will not be cut off from the city. But half of the city only will be captured. And then we read in Zechariah 14:3-4, shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, half of it toward the east and half of it toward the west. There shall be a very great valley. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. Yea, ye shall fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. The Lord my God cometh, and all the saints with thee. And in verses 7 and 8 of this 14th of Zechariah says that this battle will be one day long only. Now we're talking about Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon will last one day only. Not through a series of battles, but the battle of Armageddon will be just one battle, one day long, when Jerusalem is being surrounded by the Gentiles to exterminate Israel. Half of the city's gone into captivity, then immediately, at that point, Christ and the resurrected saints of all ages, together with the angels of God, will come from heaven and destroy the armies of the Antichrist in one day's battle. It says in these two verses, it'll be known one day, neither clear nor dark, but at evening time there shall be light. All angels of God and the resurrected saints of all ages will accompany Christ back to the earth at this time to fight against the Antichrist and the kings of the earth and their armies. That's stated in the 14th verse of Jude, where we read, Enoch the severed from Adam prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly, convince all of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed. Also in the 14th chapter of Zechariah, verse 5, it says, The Lord my God cometh on all the saints with thee. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, or 1, 7 to 10, it says this, To you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. These are the angels Christ referred to himself in Matthew 16, 27, 28. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, we read. And also in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 31 to 46, it says, When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. Now that's immediately following the battle of Armageddon itself. So you see, there will be many nations that will cooperate with Antichrist at the battle of Armageddon. There will perhaps be some that will not cooperate with the Antichrist. And they will not worship him and take his mark either, because he does not reign over any part of the world other than the 10 kingdoms inside the Roman Empire until he finally conquers the countries north and east the last few months of this age. And then he will reign over them naturally, and they will begin to take his mark. But during this whole time, practically the whole time at least, that the Antichrist is fighting with these countries north and east, while these countries north and east are not worshiping the Antichrist, and they're not taking his mark, and they do not love him, they do not follow him, they're entirely a different set of nations altogether. So the Antichrist, at the time when everybody's supposed to be worshiping him, everybody's supposed to be killed who do not worship him, why, they're making war with him, trying to overthrow him, and doing everything under the sun to defeat him and his law of making everybody to worship him. Then there are other scriptures in the Bible that prove that the Antichrist kingdom is a very limited kingdom, namely, inside the Roman Empire. Zechariah 14, verses 16 to 21 says, It shall come to pass, everyone that is left of all these nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Whosoever shall not go up of all the families of the earth, upon them there shall be no rain. This shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. If the family of Egypt go not up, thus you see here, that the Egyptians who are conquered by the Antichrist in Daniel 11 are still alive and still permitted to go into the eternal kingdom of the Son of Man, proving that all the Egyptians, even those in the 10 kingdoms of the Antichrist, do not worship him and do not take his mark. It's impossible for a man to enforce such a law in such a vast territory of the whole world in such a short period as 42 months or 1260 days. So all we have to say is that there'll be many people, even in the kingdom of the Antichrist, that will not take the mark of the beast and will not worship the beast and will live right on through this time. Why? How could that happen? Because God has raised up these enemies in the north and east against the Antichrist. The Antichrist is in a death struggle to make his own kingdom safe. And he is fighting with these countries north and east of the ten kingdoms. Now, what are these countries again? Just one more time. They are Germany, Czechoslovakia, Poland, Finland, Norway, Denmark, and Russia, Germany, and over to the east, there is China, Japan, and India, Korea, Southeast Asia, and all the countries east of the old Roman Empire from the River of India on. All these countries will escape the Antichrist and will not worship him until many of them start worshiping him at the very last of these months when he conquers them. But even the countries that are under the kingdom of the Antichrist in Daniel 7 and Daniel 11 and Zechariah 14, 16 to 21, all these and other scriptures indicate very clearly that the Antichrist will not be a worldwide dictator or a worldwide ruler, and there will be many people that will not even take his mark during that whole period. Now let me prove that to you beyond any shadow of a doubt. In the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, verses 9 to 11, we read, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in the right hand or in the forehead, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the Lamb and in the presence of the holy angels, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night, whoever worships the beast in his image and whoever receives his mark in the right hand or in the forehead." Now this declares in no uncertain language that anyone who does take the mark of the beast will be damned to eternal hell and will not be permitted to go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles in the millennium and in the coming new earth. Certainly not. So you see, if the Antichrist kills off everybody who doesn't take his mark, as many Bible students are still preaching, and the Lord sends to hell everyone who does take his mark, then you see we're going to have a desolate earth. And we can go along with the Adventists in that case, for they teach that the earth is totally desolate during the 1,000 years. And in their books, they picture Satan chained and scratching his head, thinking about his meanness for a whole 1,000 years, being so lonesome down here on the planet earth all by himself. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches when Christ reigns in Jerusalem immediately after establishing his earthly kingdom at his second advent, that multitudes of people will be going up year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Read again Zechariah 14, 16 to 21. Not only that, but the second chapter of the book of Isaiah. "Many nations shall say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths. Out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Thus, you see, their people will not worship the Antichrist all through the whole tribulation period in many nations, and even nations that are under the Antichrist. And Matthew 25, 31 to 46 pictures the judgment of the nations after the second coming of Christ. And the righteous are told, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom." The righteous have lived here all through the tribulation. I'm not talking about the church now, for that church righteous people have been raptured at least 7 years before this time. We're talking about the people who get saved after the rapture of the church and make the righteous people tribulation, and those who are not killed, especially if they're not living in the kingdom of the Antichrist, they won't necessarily be killed. The Lord will say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom." But if the Antichrist murders them because they live in his territory, then that will fulfill the other scriptures about a great multitude in the kingdom of the Antichrist that will come out of the great tribulation. Then in Revelation 12, 6 and 14 and 17, we read of Israel fleeing from the Antichrist and escapes the Antichrist, so they do not take the mark of the beast. And in Isaiah 66, 19 to 21, we read of many heathen that won't even know there's been an Antichrist on earth until it's all over with. Or we read, I will send them that have escaped of them unto the nations, unto Tarsus and Pul and Lud that draw the bow unto Javan, and unto the isles afar off who have not heard my fame, nor seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Now the fact that there will be multitudes of people going from the tribulation period into the millennium proves that the Antichrist has not killed off all the people on earth who have not taken his mark. It is clear that those who have taken the mark cannot enter the kingdom as declared in Revelation 14, 9-11. If he did kill off all the people in the world who did not take his mark, then he would be doing more in 3.5 years to contact people than God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Church have been able to do in nearly 2,000 years. In bringing this lecture about the Antichrist to an end, we might mention the following fallacies about him. There is the popular theory that he will be assassinated by a head wound which will be healed, a miracle that will cause the whole world to wonder after him. But the head wound refers to his kingdom, the old Grecian Empire being destroyed, and then being revived again as the eighth kingdom of Revelation 17:11, and not his own personal head being wounded. There are fallacies also of him being a son of Satan by a woman, just as Christ was born of God and a virgin, that he will be resurrected from the dead and will become a supernatural man, that he will be Satan incarnated in human flesh. Such theories are false and unscriptural. He will be a mortal man up to the time of Armageddon, when he will be killed by Christ according to Daniel 7:11 and 2 Thessalonians 2:8. If you would like to have some references where the word all is used in a limited sense, read Genesis 6:17, Joshua 2:21 through 25, 2 Samuel 6:5 through 15, 1 Kings 11:16 through 17, 2 Kings 8:21, 14:7 through 10, Daniel 2:37 through 39, 4:1 through 20, 7:23 through 24, Matthew 3:5, Luke 2:1-3, Romans 1:8, 10:18, Colossians 1:23, and Revelation 13:16-18.